Well, I feel like the Lord's just been talking to us some this week about fighting a good fight of faith and spiritual warfare, we wrote on the board. I was thinking about the scripture over in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, and it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to win. You know, He not only wants us to win, but He's equipped us to win. And He's given us the way to win. And He's given us a lot of good things that if we want to make heaven our home, we can win. But we have to fight a good fight. And this morning, I just want to think about some things I've been inspired by. And I was thinking about different aspects of winning this fight. You know, there's some things that the Lord, I believe, wants us to take into our hearts that maybe we don't think of as part of the fight always. But just to name a few that maybe we'll cover, and I'm sure we won't get done today. But number one, I was thinking about, we have to get our eyes on the goal, eternal life. We have to do that. We have to realize and recognize there's going to be, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, a resurrection. And there's going to be an eternity out there beyond this life that's much greater than this life and last. It's hard to say much longer. It lasts forever. There is no just a longer. It's forever. And it goes on and on. And an eternity the Lord has placed out there. He's given us hope of a better resurrection. He's given us hope. Even we have salvation here, but saints, you realize the Lord has for us a place prepared where we'll stay with Him for eternity. Do you believe that this morning? I think most of us do. If we really believe that, it'll make a difference in how we fight. It'll make a difference in our attitude in the fight and our strength. If we recognize and keep before our eyes, there's a goal out there that I'm fighting for. Another one I was thinking about was our weapons that are mighty through God. You know, the Lord has equipped us and He has told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're mighty enough to pull down every enemy that there is in life. You know that we need to recognize these things and plug them into the equation. You know, the Lord has given us weapons to be able to fight the enemy with. In this body, in this life, with the troubles of life, with all the things we face and all the perplexities, you realize God has equipped us to win and given us mighty weapons. They're not of us. We know that. They're of God. But the Lord wants us to go to heaven. And He's equipped us for spiritual warfare. And He will equip us if we will allow Him to. And make us able to come before Him and stand before Him blameless at the judgment. The Lord has promised us in the Scripture those kind of things. You know, another thing that will help us in our fight is to realize that we're not alone. Every Christian that has ever lived has had to fight the good fight of faith. Every man and woman, including Jesus, including Paul, you know, they had to fight the fight of faith. Jesus had a time or two, more than a time or two, I'm sure, because He endured all the same things we do. And he had to fight spiritual warfare. And this morning, the Lord wants us to make it. He wants us to win. But you know, there's some things He wants us to open up and take into our lives. There is a future. Thank the Lord. There is something God has given us to look forward to if we live for God. Another thing that I was thinking about was identify the enemy. A lot of times we think the enemy is something else or somebody or some place or some happening. That's not our enemy. That's just something in our way. That's a mountain we've got to cross over. But the real enemy is old self. How he reacts to that. And how he, if he pities himself or if he isn't willing to go on in spite, that's our enemy. There isn't anything that the enemy can bring our way. Joshua, the Lord told him plainly, every place you set the sole of your foot, it'll be yours. That's what the Lord told him, and I believe He tells us the same thing. Where we set our foot, this is my ground. This is spiritual ground God wants to give me. Do you know, if we know that, and we believe that, and we use that, I believe it's ours. I believe it's something God wants us to have. And I'm talking about spiritual ground. Another thing is God will fight for us. And we need to recognize that. We're not in this battle alone. We're not fighting a fight where that we are like a drowning person and panicking. That's not spiritual warfare. The Lord's fighting our battles for us. And what He's telling us is, roll, cast your burden on me. Let me help you bear it. I'll help you carry your burden. It won't be too heavy for you. I promise. That's what God has given us. All His precious promises are yea and amen to those that believe. So this morning, as we start thinking about this a little bit, I want to look first at the thought about eternal life. We studied about that quite a bit in Sunday school this morning. Eternal life. You know, in John 14 and 2, the Lord gives us something, and I'm so glad He did. I don't know how many times I have read these scriptures and thought about these scriptures. Probably many of you have too. But Jesus told the people here, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, there's a lot of issues come up in life, and we know that. There is a lot of battles. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to take this to heart today. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in Jesus. Believe in His power and in His promises to us. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Folks, I want to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. I'm settling my life on it. I'm giving my life for this because I believe it that much. And I know there's plenty of others here that do also. You know, the Lord has done that. He has prepared for us a place. Get our eyes on it. You know, I've thought so many times about, and I've mentioned this before here, but I've thought about people that begin to go together and they begin to court and see each other and ride and talk on the phone. And, you know, they'll get a weekend, even 2 days or 3 days max, and they'll drive 14, 15 hours to see each other, and it's nothing. They're just happy to do it. You know why? Because there's something there, isn't there? That's why. You know, if we had to just get in and somebody said, now I want you to drive 14 or 15 hours and then come back and go to work Monday morning, that might sound kind of big. I dread that. I don't want to do that. But you know what? When there's something at the other end, it changes the whole picture. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to have this in our heart and in our mind. There's something at the other end. I'm not just struggling along. I don't believe we just struggle all the time anyway. I don't believe God plans for it to be that way. But there are plenty of struggles in life, and we have to overcome. And sometimes there's a lot of struggles. You know, sometimes we have to endure some things. And Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." But you know, this morning, when we have our eyes fixed and our heart fixed, there's something waiting for me that so overshadows this life, that 30 minutes over there, 30 seconds over there, I believe the toils of the road will seem as nothing. All the things I've endured, the things I've had to forgive, the offenses I've had to go past, and the love I've shown instead, or we, I say, you know, all of those things, all the hurdles we've had to jump, the humbling that we've had to do at times, you know, that will seem as nothing when we get over there. I believe that this morning. That will seem as nothing. Do we believe it? Let's pick up our banner and let's pick up our heart and take heart. It's going to be worth it one day. It's part of the battle. We're talking about spiritual warfare. I will tell you, when Paul wrote by inspiration for us to think on things that are pure and lovely and of good report and keep our mind and our heart there, you know what he was talking about? Thinking on good things. You know, instead of, as opposed to, all the things that we might could think of, all the reasonings, all the misunderstandings, all the things we don't understand, all the fears, all the pain that we might endure from time to time. You know, if we settle our hearts, this is going to be well worth it. I will tell you, it will change the picture. It will change the picture. The fellow that drives 14 hours, he's not laboring in that. He's anticipating every moment. Can't hardly wait to get there. And coming back, he's just so glad he went. That's the way it works. You know, the Lord wants us to have that lively hope within our heart and life. That every day, I know that we don't just think about it every moment, but I will tell you, it does change the picture. I didn't used to think about it too much, but now I realize one day, whatever happens between here and the grave, I don't know, and I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it, but I will tell you, it'll be worth it one day. Thank the Lord. I want to read to you over in Revelation 21 and verse 21. It says here, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls." Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, this morning, I don't personally believe that there's going to be, I don't personally believe we're going to have streets of the kind of gold that we see. It's going to be a lot better gold than that. We're going to have a spiritual body. We aren't going to need to walk on streets of gold like this. I can't see that. But I will tell you, when we read about a little of what the Bible says about the future, and some of these things have meaning today too, but you know, it says the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, the Lord has a place that I don't believe there's going to be any darkness there at all. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And I will tell you, wherever God is, there's light. And whenever things seem dark to us, we just need to get close to the Lord, because in Him is no darkness at all. And you know, I believe the glory and the light of God is going to be something that we really will be amazed at. I wanted a song book. We sing this song, 373, and it says, "What will it be to be there?" And listen to the words. I'm sure some of it was taken from these very verses. It said, "There's a city of gold in that land far away, with its streets and its buildings so rare, with its glories untold in its bright golden ray. Oh, what will it be to be there?" And then the chorus goes on to say, "Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise and honor to the Savior. While eternity prolong, bless His holy name in song. All the saints in heaven singing. Round the throne their anthems ringing. All the saints of God above singing one celestial song." I will tell you, when I look at that and I hear those words, and I realize the power of the beauty of singing and the inspiration of it. You know, when we've gone to Monarch or even here at different times and had meeting, and the place just rang with the glory of God and the praises of the Lord and the songs, you know how elevating that is. You can hardly tell somebody how inspirational that is. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? And all the saints around the throne of God, and the glory of God enlightening the place. You know, the Lord wants us to get our minds on some of these things, so that we don't become weary in our well-doing. So that when the battle gets a little tough, we don't forget the future. We don't forget that there's a judgment, not only of the good, but of the evil. Those that do evil will also be rewarded for their deeds. In the city of love, in that land far above, where the saints, all immortal and fair, are uniting their voices in anthems of love. Oh, what will it be to be there? Have you ever sat and thought about that and meditated on it and just thought about what it would be like? You know, when Jesus, when the angels came and they sang there, around the time Jesus was born. And it says a multitude of the heavenly host. Have you ever just sat and tried to envision what that would be like to hear those angels sing? I can only imagine. But you know, in heaven, it won't be just a multitude. It'll be all the heavenly host there. It says, "In that city above, there's a mansion for me, which my Savior has gone to prepare. With the angels in heaven, my soul soon shall be. Oh, what will it be to be there? Oh, the Lamb is the light of that heavenly home, and they need not the sunbeams so fair. There the darkness and shadows of night never come. Oh, what will it be to be there?" I will tell you, I've been so inspired by these things. I want to make it there. You know, the Lord has given us hope. That hope is an anchor to the soul. It's something that anchors us from drifting away in life. That hope that we have, you know, God designed hope. He gave it to us in a large measure. And the Lord gave us a lot of promises. He wrote descriptive language of what it would be like, trying to let us know, those that would believe, those that would hear and take up their cross and follow the Lord all the way. I want to tell you, I believe there's a place there that words cannot tell. Paul came back. He said he saw the third heaven. I don't know what all that was about, but he said he heard words that it was unlawful to speak. You know, Paul saw some things. I'm sure the rest of his life, I imagine Paul thought on those things. And when his time came, he was like, I'm ready to be offered up. Paul's time was ready. He had lived for that day. It was in his mind. It was in his thoughts. He was ready for that day. And so he didn't view that day as some unknown that was so awfully scary. Paul had hope of something better. In Romans 8 and 24, listen to this. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? In other words, it's not hope if you already see it. But the Lord gave us a hope. He told us about it. We haven't seen it, but he told us about it. And he said here, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I just want to encourage us this morning. Saints, we have to have patience. We with patience wait for it. We with patience endure a few things. With patience we see the battles of life and we endure those things. Why? Because we have hope. Because we have a lively hope. A hope that's more than just, you know, well, I hope maybe someday. To me, that's not a lively hope. I believe we can have something that's a lot more and a lot better than that. 1 Peter 1 and 3 and 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You ever thought about that, folks? This isn't something that's going to fade away. There isn't anything in this life that we have. There's not one thing that's not going to fade away. Our life itself, in this body anyway, is going to fade away. Everything we have. But it says, to an inheritance incorruptible. It's not possible for this to be corrupted. It's not possible for it to decay. It's not possible for sin to get to deal with us there. It says, an undefiled and that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. What a promise. You believe that this morning? I love that this morning. Think on those things. Let them encourage us. If we feel a little bit discouraged, don't look at the discouragement. It's passing. It's of a small portion. It won't last long. If it lasted the rest of our life, it won't last long. I found out 50 years passes in a real big hurry. It's not long. And I won't see another 50, I doubt. But you know, we see that it passes so quickly. And then we meet this time. Oh, may the Lord help us to be encouraged to fight a spiritual warfare. Part of that is keeping our mind on these things, folks. That's what we were saying and we've been repeating a little bit. But it's keeping our mind on things that encourages us. We know them. We believe them. Has God left us without witness? No, He hasn't. How many things has He done? Just like the children of Israel, how many things did He do for them to help them? Can you recount back in your life and see places that God spared your life? Can you look back in your life and see places where God touched you and healed you? I can see places. Oh, I remember places that nobody could take from me. I know God did that. I saw Him do it with my own eyes. I saw it change, and there wasn't any way for it to change. I know it's true, and therefore, I'm committed to it. And saints, I want to encourage us, commit yourself. Commit yourself to keeping your mind on things above, to keeping your mind in things that are right and true and godly. Keeping our mind when the world would beckon, and the world begins to call. We fight a spiritual warfare. Is the world going to call to you and to me? Sure it is. We're not out of this body yet, and it's going to call to us. But I will tell you, the Lord wants us to keep our mind until the end. He wants to give us a lively hope, one that fades not away, one that we know is there. It will last, and it's worth the trip. It's worth the work when we have to settle in and dig in. And as we said, you read Psalms 23. It's not all that. He leads beside green pastures. And I've experienced plenty of those beautiful green pastures. Plenty of His loving kindness. But I will tell you, we go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes too. And we go through different places. But we find all the way that the Lord, He is my shepherd. He cares for me. He cares for us. If we get turned over a little, He'll take his little stick and He'll turn us back over and help us. He won't even chide us many times. The Lord loves us. He tries to get us there. He will get us there if we will just let Him. I want to look at another scripture. Another, I guess you can have favorite scriptures. This is one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 10. Starting at verse 3, listen to this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This world is a war. Everybody, there is many wars going on. In many homes, there's wars going on every day. But you know, he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war the way the world wars. But it says the weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not guns and knives. The Lord doesn't want us to war that way. He'll take judgment as His. He'll take care of things. But I will tell you what He does want us to do. He wants us to take upon ourselves the weapons of God and of Christ that fight battles and win in a spiritual way, that cause people that are troubled to be able to find answers. I've seen it happen. And people begin to wake up and begin to realize, hey, there are some answers. You know, the Lord wants us to share those things with people. I believe we have the answers of life. People want to be happy in their hearts and lives. I will tell you, I believe we have the answers to that this morning. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, excuse me, are mighty. They're mighty through God. They do a lot of things besides pull down strongholds. They fight the devil in many ways. They fight the things that would trouble us, the weapons of God. And He wants us to learn what they are. The Lord wants us, instead of thinking about this world all the time, we have to work. We have to spend much of our time involved in the things of this life, many of us. But I will tell you, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Find out what they are. Study of them. Let the Lord start putting that sword of His Spirit in your hand. And let it begin to work like it's supposed to. It'll cut down the works of the enemy. It'll cut His work out of your life. And the Lord wants us to learn to use it today. In Ephesians 6, listen to this. We're speaking of spiritual warfare. And the Lord didn't leave us without weaponry. Ephesians 6 and 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. Folks, that's where we miss it. If we don't win, we don't tap into the power of His might. Maybe we fight ourselves. Maybe in fear we just say we can't fight. But I want to tell you, when we tap into the Lord and into His Spirit, and we pray to Him and we commit ourselves to Him, we take His way, I believe we'll find that the power of His might will work in our life. It will fight our battles, and we'll see them won also. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do these things try to win and overcome in our lives? They fight against us, don't they? They war against us. The ideas of the world, the thoughts of the world, the loves of the world, don't they fight against our soul? Yes, they do. They war against us. And he says here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't do that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight carnally. But I will tell you, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Lord has some armor for us that will work. It will work. David tried to put on Saul's armor, and he said, I haven't proved these. I can't do this, Saul. But I'll tell you what, the Lord, and I don't know that he said this at that time, but he told Saul, there was a bear that came up against me, and there was a lion that came up against me, and the Lord slew those. And he did that through the power of the Lord. And when he went out, then David did, he chose 5 smooth stones. That was God's will in that little battle. It didn't bring glory to David, but it brought a lot of glory to God. Now, David was in the Old Testament, but he trusted in God, and we do the same today. And he says here, put on the whole armor, that ye may be able to stand. The Lord has armor for us today as well. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, this morning, I just want to say a few words about that. It is important what we believe. I know a lot of people, and you hear people regularly in the world, doctrine is a bad word to them. They don't like the word doctrine. They don't want the word doctrine. I want to tell you something. I've seen people, because they didn't know doctrine, be swept away by the ill things the enemy brought along. And so one of the weapons of our warfare is truth. He says, take unto you, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Understand and let the Lord teach us some things. Don't have an aversion. That's a spirit of the world. An aversion to truth. An aversion to doctrine. That's a spirit of the world. Now, we don't just stand by, I mean, it is not only truth. There has to be life with it. But truth is very important to us. It will keep us. I'll give you an example. I knew a family that I saw them prospering in the Lord. I saw them growing spiritually. I saw them moving closer to God and His ways. This is from the world they were. And I watched it. But in their mind, they had this evil doctrine that you're predestinated. Wherever you're going to go, you're predestinated before you start. And whatever happens once you're saved, you're always saved. They had all this in their mind. Well, I want to tell you, I have to believe they've made a complete turnaround and went to everything they stood against. The things that God had revealed to them, they went back to. And you can see there is nothing about God in them, much ungodliness in their lives. And I've many times wondered, how did they do this to their family? But I have to believe that if you really believe in your heart you're predestinated, if you really believe there isn't anything you're going to do to change that, then you're not going to pay much of a price. I just believe that personally. To me, that evil doctrine probably had a great part to play in those people leaving what truth God had given them. It's important that we know God is a God of holiness. He's a God of love. But he does expect people to live holy and righteous. And we can backslide if we're not careful. And so the Lord wants us to know some things about truth that were kept in the evil day. The evil day is the day of battle. The evil day is that day when things come against us, when the devil wars against our heart and our mind. And the Lord wants us to have some truth that we can withstand those things. We go on and it says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know the breastplate? It covers the vitals. It covers those things that are vital. Our heart, our lungs. And he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Live a holy life. Live like God says to live. I've seen people that didn't live that way. And I will tell you, the enemy plunged them through. There wasn't long till he just stole all that vital out of them. All that heart, all that breath of righteousness. And, well, when they weren't living a holy life, that happened. But I watched the devil steal everything else they had as well. You know, the Lord has good things for us, and he wants us to keep them, and he wants us to war a spiritual warfare, and he has outfitted us for it. Live like the Lord says. Don't ever get caught up in the ways of the world that says, you was saved. You was saved at one time. That's of the devil. That's of the world. That's a worldly way of thinking, and it won't get us into heaven. But the Lord wants us to live to please him. And I know we all know that here, most of us, maybe all of us. And it goes on to say, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, this is a little bit, I don't totally maybe understand this scripture. But when you read about the feet being shod and the old Roman army, the time this was written, they had greaves on, they called it. And they were a protector for their foot and their ankle area. Because if their foot got hurt, they couldn't fight. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't retreat. They couldn't do anything. And so they kept their feet. The Bible says how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that publish the gospel. I have to think that this has something to do with us being ready, not only to fight the good fight of faith, but ready to give the gospel out, ready to share, ready to do the will of the Lord, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let it be a part of our life that we're not just sitting down doing our own little thing. Get up and do the will of the Lord. Get up and let him put upon us some of his work and some of his ways. I know that's not real conclusive of that scripture. But it goes on to say, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you know that if we keep our faith in God, if we keep our belief, if we know, I know God is, whatever happens, I'm not going to let it take me out. I'm not going to let the enemy change my ways, my thoughts, my pattern of living. Hold that shield in front of you. Hold the shield of faith, the things we believe. Hold those things. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation. What a wonderful thing to be saved. Take that, put it on our head. If we don't have a helmet of salvation, we're not protected. Our mind's not protected. Our head isn't protected. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, the Lord has outfitted us with these things. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, this morning, this Word, it should live in our life. Let it live. Take it to our life. Study it. Understand it. Love it. Eat it. Consume it. Let it be our strength. Eat it like bread. Drink it like water. The Lord wants to give us strength out of that. Take that sword. when the devil comes along and you've been studying, you've been eating this word, you know what you will have? You'll have something for the Spirit to use against the devil. Jesus did that when he was tempted. What did he use? He said, "It is written." And he used the word against the devil in his temptation. You know, this morning the Lord has given us many, many weapons. Let's fight a spiritual warfare, saints. Let's fight. One scripture says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I want to read one more place here, or two maybe. 1 Corinthians 9. And starting at 23, I want to read 27 first. He said, Paul says here, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, that's part of our battle today. It's part of our weapons, our weaponry, for us to fight against the flesh. Don't let the flesh have its way in everything in our life. It's not good for us. He said, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Because if I don't, when I've preached to others, I myself can be a castaway." You know, that's what Paul knew. He knew this body had to be brought under. And so he wrote these scriptures up above. Starting at 23, he says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." We have that crown in view. And he said, we do this. We keep our body in subjection. We don't just let our desires run wild. We don't just partake of anything that comes along that we think feels good, tastes good, or looks good. We don't do that. Why? Because we are like these ones that run a race. And he's likening it to that. They had games back then too, big Olympic games. You know, those Olympians, and I've read about them some, and they torture themselves. I don't know. You'd have to want that gold medal awful bad to do what they have to do for it. I don't think I could ever bring myself to spend years of my life for a gold medal and my name on something like that. But that's what they do. But you know what Paul is telling us? We have an incorruptible crown. And it's one that fades not away. And it's reserved in heaven for us. Now run for it like that. Prepare for it like that. Whatever you have to do, get ready. Whatever we have to do, get ourselves ready. Let the Lord get us in shape. Work at it. Is all this spiritual? Well, the Lord just, you know, hey, work at it. Take time. Be diligent in our worship. Be diligent in the things that we need to do. That's the things I believe Paul is saying here. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, not so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." I'm not just playing games. I'm not just beating the air. But he says, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." You know, this morning, the Lord wants to present Your whole soul, spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants that to happen. But you know, it's not going to happen on its own. It's going to happen because we on purpose, we decided, I believe in that. I believe in that eternity. I believe in the things of God. And I'm going to pick up my cross. And I'm going to live for Him like He wants me to. And I just want to urge us this morning. Let the Lord have His way. Let's don't let any kind of whatever it is stop us. I want I decided a long time ago, I don't care what the price is, I'm going to pay it because I'm set to go there. I believe in it that much. Amen.